I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of them.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E. Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Thursday, February 2nd, 2023 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride. It's, Black History Month. We'll dive into that in a second. But so Punxsutawney Phil sees his shadow, predicts 6 more weeks of winter. I don't care about that. I want to know if Punxsutawney Phil saw his carbon footprint. Did he see that? 6 more weeks of winter. I guess we'll have to deal with that darn global warming stuff that some of us have been dealing with. And it's beautiful where I am, but it's chilly. I guess it's that darn global warming. It's been hovering around zero mostly for weeks now, but that's all right. It's nice. I want to get back into the subject matter that we were sort of scratching at the end of yesterday's broadcast. And, I think it's a subject that's tricky. I think it's tricky on purpose. You know, it's kind of like the communitarian discussion. It's intentionally really everything that we hear around it is intentionally misleading. But you can get to the bottom of it with a sufficient amount of effort and investigation. But I think that really, in my humble estimation, it has to be led by the Holy Spirit. I think that's a sine qua non, as they say. So I'll come back to this, but just for now, suffice it to say, without the theocratic, i.e. the religious aspect, per JNLA's question yesterday, Jay in Los Angeles, and to James in Brooklyn's point, without the religious aspect of the Israeli prong of the World Revolutionary Movement / New World Order conversation, you simply cannot understand what is happening. And by extension, you know, foreign policy making, the Wolfowitz Doctrine, the Yanan Plan, Eretz Israel, the Palestinian pogroms, particularly over the last 1948, 80 years or so. Much more. So, you know, final point before we go back to Black History Month, in that regard, to those who would, you know, to the point of Jay's question, to those who would seek to understand what's ultimately happening in the world, I would say, although you may not consider yourself religious, you know, in air quotes, to ascribe one's own beliefs, in this case, to one's mortal adversaries, so to speak, is foolish, short-sighted, and naive, and immediately exposes oneself to blindsided vulnerability. You must understand that just because you may not think yourself religious does not mean others do not think themselves religious or act accordingly, obviously. That, I think, is... We try to, you know, we engage in the fallacy of trying to project our own thoughts and beliefs and things onto other people. And again, people like Alan Watt, Bill Cooper, and others have cautioned us against that, particularly with certain folks. You know, we think, well, this is how we operate, and there is a group of people who are groomed to believe that they are sort of the masters of the universe, in a sense. I mean, there's still a pecking order there, but when it comes to the masses and the general public, they do believe themselves, you know, however esoteric and far down that rabbit hole you want to go or end up going, there is, you know, it's a totally different mindset. And when I say religion, by the way, I'm not talking Judaism or, you know, anything like that in particular. I'm talking more along the lines of it. Again, it's kind of a, you know, a continuum. It doesn't necessarily start there, but by degrees, gradually, one is brought along to what I would describe as a very satanic agenda. So, more on that later. I think I mentioned a good list of names, you know, Christopher Bolin, Michael Hoffman, the occult cryptocracy is a great operative term, I would say. James Perloff's research, you know, Michael Collins Piper, Henry Mackow is one I didn't mention yesterday. Bill Cooper, obviously, probably play some clips at some point. Maybe today, maybe later. The late, great Jack Otto. World War III in particular. We used to have copies available. We should still at RBN. Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's Synagogue of Satan is something that I didn't mention, and it's ironic, I think, you know, if you read Hitchcock's Synagogue of Satan, there's, you know, this is dangerous territory, and what ends up happening is you have this, you know, you have superlatives, and you have vitriol and things like that, and again, I think this is why the Holy Spirit is imperative in researching the subject matter as you start going down the rabbit hole. So, in Hitchcock's Synagogue of Satan, he cites Revelation 2:9. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. But are the synagogue of Satan. And so, when he tells the story, when he begins with the story in 740 AD, And he concludes, interestingly, this historical event shows the accuracy of Bible prophecy as in Revelation 2:9 and 3:9. The Bible very clearly tells us to beware of the Jews who pretend to be God's chosen people when they are actually Satan's chosen people. That's false. And the irony is on the page, two pages prior to that statement, that erroneous statement, he actually includes the verse that he paraphrases in error. It doesn't clearly tell us to beware of the Jews. It clearly tells us to beware of those who say they are, who call themselves Jews and are not. So, it doesn't matter what you call yourself. I'm more interested in what Jesus would call you. What would he say? Because again, same thing, you know. Jesus himself said on that day, many will come and say, Lord, Lord, did we not do all these wonderful things? And he will say, depart from me, workers of iniquity, I never knew you. I never knew you. That means that they probably were thinking themselves something, and obviously the opinion that mattered, or the perspective, or the lens, the benchmark that mattered, was not the one that they were using. So, back to Black History Month. First, we'll dive down that rabbit hole. Black History Month, 2023. So, happy Black History Month. I would like to talk about a few things, though. If we're going to talk about Black History Month, if we're going to be honest, and you know, I've been feeling more kind of. I just want to, you know, hit this directly. More directly in recent years. So anyway, let's talk about a few things. Can we talk for a moment? For example, you know, just a few things. Can we talk about the 2008 Black State of the Union? And can we talk about the fallout or the aftermath since? What's happened to Dick Gregory? What's happened to Cosby? America's dad. And like Eddie Murphy said, you know, if you would have told me 20 years ago that Bill Cosby would be in prison and I would be America's dad, I would have said, well, what Eddie Murphy says. So what happened to Dick Gregory? What happened to Cosby? What happened to Tavis Smiley and Prince? Remember the conversation that Prince had with Tavis Smiley? What happened to Michael Jackson? What's happened in these intervening years? Has anybody watched that Lost, Stolen, or Strayed? We played clips of that. I think we did, the last time we did that was last February. Cosby, Lost, Stolen, or Strayed. History, Lost, Stolen, or Strayed. 1968. Been a while. Maybe we'll play some clips. Can we talk about what Morgan Freeman said about Black History Month? Speaking of which, and I'm thinking of proposing a White Men's History Month. What do you think? I'm being facetious, of course. If you don't understand, refer back to Morgan Freeman's remarks. Look them up. I don't know. Maybe we should play that too. But it's denigrating to have a Black History Month. That's in essence what Morgan Freeman was saying. We shouldn't have it. Why don't we have a History Month for your people? And, you know, the point should be self-evident. It's absurd. And it really, you know, it may sound good on the face of it. Gil Scott-Heron had some interesting remarks to this effect, And I guess I empathize with what he was saying with regard to the revolution will not be televised. We'll probably play that for sure. But it's denigrating. It's otherizing. It's inherently otherizing. And it creates a, or it foments or feeds into a victim psychopathy. And so, you know, it's something that to many, whether you're pushing a Black History Month or, you know, supporting it or whatever, it is couched in the veneer of the best of intentions, obviously. But, you know, like Mom always said, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. So I think we should be more concerned with the results in this case. But, you know, when we're talking about this kind of a crowd, the social justice warrior, the cultural Marxist, the social Darwinist is more concerned with equality of outcome than equality of opportunity. And so there we go. We're back to that problem. Can we talk about Anthony Johnson, born around 1600, died 1670, I think. According to Wikipedia, Anthony Johnson was, quote, a black Angolan known for achieving wealth in the early 17th century colony of Virginia. How, pray tell? One of the first, according to Wikipedia, one of the first, although I would say typically recognized as or considered the first African Americans, one of the first African Americans whose right to own a slave for life was recognized by the Virginia courts. Now, this isn't to say that he owned slaves. This is to say that it was recognized by the Virginia courts. That's why Anthony Johnson is such a provocative example. One of the first African Americans whose right to own a slave for life was recognized by the Virginia courts. In the 17th century, this is before the American Revolutionary period. Let that sink in for a moment. I know we do this, you know, Anthony Johnson is the token example of, you know, lies my teacher told me, to borrow from James Lowen. But it's okay. Teacher didn't know any better. The lies were told to teacher. What do you expect? Speaking of which, can we talk about Professor Tony Martin's research into the Atlantic slave trade and the secret relationship between blacks and Jews? That's a book, by the way, published in 1991. Yeah. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
To hide neath the hood, to kill with no pain, like a dog on a chain. He ain't got no name, but it ain't him to blame. He's only a pawn in their game. Today, Medgar Evers was buried from the bullet he caught. They're lowering him down as a king. But when the shadowy sun sets on the one that fired the gun, you'll see by his grave, on the stone that remains, carved next to his name, his epitaph plain. Only a pawn in their game.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia.
Mm-hmm. So Tony Martin's research, that's controversial. I guess we're not supposed to talk about that because, you know, even though my understanding is that the authors were themselves Jewish, you know, it came through the Nation of Islam, and therefore, you know, a bunch of other folks who call themselves Jews wrote, you know, have essentially excoriated, you know, how dare these people write this and how dare anyone read it. Whatever you do, do not go read The Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews. And that reminds me, the term African American is another, I don't agree with the term. I don't use it particularly. And so if I don't use it, then I hope you'll understand why. I think it creates a double-mindedness. Are we not just Americans? Again, it's divisive by its very nature. Are we Americans or not? You know, what if, and again, just to put it in perspective, what if certain people start running around saying, well, you know, I'm an Anglo-Saxon American. Would that not be controversial? Oh, well, that's, you know, that person would not be a minority. Well, it depends on who you talk to these days. Things are changing. Which again reminds me of remarks that folks like Frederick Lindemann have made historically. So hopefully that makes sense, and I'll leave it at that. Can we talk about, you know, if we're going to have a discussion about Black History Month and Black history, can we talk about Prince Hall and Prince Hall Freemasonry? Can we talk about that? It's interesting that, you know, history tells us that at least 14 presidents were Masons. That's, we know that's not an accurate figure, though, because it's public knowledge that, for example, William Jefferson Clinton was de Molay. You can see, you can find pictures on the interwebs of young William Jefferson there at the White House on tour with, you know, his de Molay group. So it's at least 15. And I think we could bump that number up higher pretty quickly, obviously. But that's more than 30% right out of the gates. So that's interesting. So anyway, can we talk about Prince Hall Freemasonry? Prince Hall and Prince Hall Freemasonry. You can find lists of notable Masons all over, including Wikipedia actually has a page of notable Prince Hall Freemasonry members, or not a page, but a section. And there are more that would surprise you. But even the names in that little list are surprising. So, like, who? Well, lots of folks. Booker T. Washington, that's one that most people know. Duke Ellington, Count Basie. A lot of folks in entertainment and sports. Nat King Cole, Al Green, Lionel Richie, Reuben Studdard, Ozzie Davis, Richard Pryor, Lou Gossett Jr., Lionel Hampton, Jesse Owens, Sugar Ray Robinson, Shaquille O'Neal, Isaiah Thomas, Stephon Marbury, Scottie Pippen, Marshall Faulk, Don King, Emmanuel Lewis, Nelson Mandela, politics also, Roland Martin, you know, media, entertainment stuff. Lots of figures that you would never probably, well, maybe you would. You're like you and me. We probably would guess, right? W.E.B. Du Bois, Jeremiah Wright, Obama's pastor, Prince Hall Mason, Douglas Wilder. You know, speaking of politics, we'll dive down this rabbit hole, and especially the civil rights era folks. Kind of a focus on them. When we come back, we'll do that. Stick around. We'll be right back.
There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red...
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can... handle the truth.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be a bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer: 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer: 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly, and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey there, are you gonna wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop and lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop and lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Revolution wasn't televised in the 60s. Is it going to be televised in the 90s?
Well, you know, the catchphrase, what that was all about, revolution will not be televised, that was about the fact that the first change that takes place in your mind. You have to change your mind before you change the way you live and the way you move. So when we said that the revolution would not be televised, we were saying that, like, that the thing that's going to change people is something that no one will ever be able to capture on film. It'll just be something that you see, and all of a sudden you realize, I'm on the wrong page, or I'm on the right page, but I'm on the wrong note. And I've got to get in sync with everyone else to understand what's happening in this place. But I think that the black Americans have been the only real diehard Americans here. We're the only ones who carried the process through the process. That everyone else has to sort of like skip stages. We're the ones who marched, we're the ones who carried the Bible, we're the ones who carried the flag, we're the ones who had to go through the bush. And being born American didn't seem to matter. Because we were born American, but we still had to fight for what we were looking for.
There you go. Gil Scott Heron, why the revolution will not be televised. Interesting thoughts. What did he mean by, well, now we know, at least in part. So can we talk, you know, we're talking about Black History Month. Like I said, if we're going to have this conversation, can we talk about some other stuff like the 2008 State of the Black, State of the Black Union, I think is what it was called, right? I said Black State of the Union. Anyway, You know what I'm talking about. And like I said, the fallout since then, we've lost Dick Gregory. You know, things have obviously taken a dark turn for Bill Cosby. Tavis Smiley got swept up in the Me Too stuff. Prince is gone. Michael Jackson's gone. Prince had some interesting remarks on his interviews with Tavis Smiley. Michael Jackson said some interesting things about Tommy Mottola. And then guess who ended up with Michael Jackson's library, music library? And what did Dick Gregory say about the value of the library? So it's all interesting stuff. You know, again, just to recap briefly, Anthony Johnson is in an interesting study. Professor Tony Martin's research is an interesting discussion. Why is he not, you know, David Irving introduces him at a talk, and another guy, you know, who's persona non grata. We can't listen to David Irving. Why is that? Because, you know, he seems to be very, he treats history with surgical precision. He treats it with a meticulous acumen with which the rest of us are not acquainted. The irony with criticizing David Irving is you're talking about somebody who is multilingual, obviously, who has read the documents themselves. People say, well, you know, he hasn't visited here or there. Well, he has admitted that, but he says, you know, I have read the documentation. You know, they were meticulous about documenting things. And so he says, I've read the documents. He obviously understands the language. And so he's acquainted with nuance and things that the rest of us are unaware. And so it's, you know, like having, you know, a monkey criticize a brain surgeon or something along those lines. It's that absurd. It's amazing what people do in the Dunning-Kruger effect, you know, how we will do those kinds of silly things, thinking we're some kind of expert when no one, you'd be hard-pressed to find someone with, you know, credentials of someone like Tony Martin to be able to understand and sift through history. But he introduces Tony Martin, and we're not supposed to listen to either one of these crazy people because why? Why exactly are people not supposed to read? You know, isn't it interesting? The same people who tell you, you know, we're supposed to have information out there, and some people want to burn books, but when you want to read a David Irving or a Tony Martin, then suddenly these people become hysterical and say, well, you know, we can't have people reading that radical. You know, they'll become self-radicalized. We need to combat violent extreme. No, we just want to know history. That's all. Why are you getting so crazy? You're the one saying we're supposed to have this information out, and people who want to burn books are evil and crazy and stuff. Why are you trying to tell us to burn this one? Why are you having a digital book burning with David Irving and Tony Martin and guys like that? That's interesting. What are you afraid of? Self-radicalized. Come on, maybe we'll know the truth. That the same group of folks, and it's not who you think at first glance, shall we say. I suppose, you know, this is the moment to insert my canned John Spivak Wall Street's fascist conspiracy deal, because Spivak had that little bit in the first article. Wall Street's fascist conspiracy was a 1935 series of articles by John Spivak concerning what's come to be known as the business plot. And he said, what was most interesting about the McCormick-Dickstein committee was that what they, you know, how they tried to prevent Smelly Butler's testimony from being made public. And when it seemed that was inevitable, they essentially forced the redaction of the indictment of themselves and, you know, their co-conspirators, I guess, in a nutshell, the way that story goes. But in the first article John Spivak wrote, it will be shown that financial – and, you know, you go through the list. I mean, because there are, for example, in his articles, there is the kind of the chart or the graph of who's who and where stuff is coming from. You know, you have the Crusaders, you have the American Liberty League, William Randolph Hearst, who you may recall was groomed essentially by W.T. Stead, Mr. Government by Journalism himself. You have Kuhn Loeb on the list, Remington Rand, American Jewish Committee, and, you know, some interesting names. And so at first glance, you might think, aha, certain people are right when they say certain things. But like Spivak wrote, he wrote, it will be shown that financial and economic class considerations rise above every other kind, including racial and religious ones. And that is a point that cannot be overstated. The anti-Semitic character of Nazism has been abundantly demonstrated in these pages. Nevertheless, this article and succeeding ones will reveal Jewish financiers, or shall we say so-called, working with fascist groups, which, if successful, would unquestionably heighten the wave of hate, the Jew propaganda. Why would they do that? And this is kind of a bridge. This is why I wanted to do this. You know, this is kind of a bridge to yesterday's discussion. There are, you know, not to skip ahead too far, but there's other stuff. There's the Village Voice article back in 1999, Farrakhan Jews. Remember that? When Farrakhan met with the Naturi Karta. And the Village Voice article, you know, talked about all of that. And, you know, speaking of bridges to stuff that I'm talking about, there is the tweet, St. Michael's Sword, Louis Farrakhan is a Freemason. Members of various lodges recently bestowed the highest honors on Louis Farrakhan of the Nation of Islam. These are the highest honors that can be bestowed upon a Mason, said Tony Hawkins of John G. Jones Grand Lodge. So, you know, people will say, well, Farrakhan he's been outspoken against all of that stuff. And I would say, again, that's why I've said many times recently, the operative concept here is, can Satan cast out Satan? So what's really going on? And for that matter, this really gets back to a bigger deal. You know, let's take Andrew Breitbart for an example. So we play that intro, the Hating Breitbart intro, on this broadcast these days, for better or worse. I remember asking, yeah, I remember thinking about it for years. I wanted to do it for years before we did it. And I didn't even ask John Stadmiller because, well, I think for the obvious reason, if you listen to it, you know, why it might be indiscreet to do that. However, to do it, I think the benefit of doing it is greater than the detriment, the possible indiscretion. That's a judgment call. I thought about it for years. Finally, I thought, you know what, it seems, especially because of what has been happening and the direction things are going, obviously, over the last few years in particular, that it's time, you know, it's now or never kind of thing. And so I asked John about it, and he said, yeah, sure. If, you know, basically use your own best judgment. And I'm glad that I did ask. So, you know, we play Andrew Breitbart, and it's more than just what Breitbart is saying. It's the fact that we don't have Andrew Breitbart anymore. And right as the Hating Breitbart deal was all sort of set to roll out, you know, it was the same moment that he blew in and blew out of the 2012 CPAC and gave that crazy extemporaneous, you know, those crazy extemporaneous remarks. Like, I'm stopping here, but, you know, I got to get back out in the street into my phone booth and change into my, you know, I got to go save the world. That's what that's his book, Righteous Indignation, Excuse Me While I Save the World. And I think he was serious. And he had it figured out in a way that most people don't. So here's the thing. With Andrew Breitbart, he was getting results. It was action. It wasn't Satan casting out Satan to, you know, for revelation of the method and that kind of stuff, and to further inure people and to just sort of acclimate people to things as we go along by degrees. Boil the frog by degrees, or convert the person by degrees. We've got a lot of degrees. Whether you're in Freemasonry or in school, the further along you go, the more degrees you get. So Breitbart was getting results, whether it was with Acorn, for example. What happened? It was, you know, it was James O'Keefe, but it was also Andrew Breitbart, and the Breitbart effect, I would say, so to speak, was that Acorn was, in a sense, crippled. It's all about perception. It's all a perception management. It's kind of a perception management war, really, with these little perception management campaigns, and Breitbart understood how to do that masterfully. He could sort of weaponize the Edward Bernays and the Ivy Lees against themselves, which gets back to Pat in Texas's point about the discussion that we had about foxtails. And, you know, Pat mentioned Judges 15 and Samson tying the foxes' tails together and, you know, tying a torch in between and having them run through the fields and burning up the Philistine crops. And so in that sense, basically, you know, I would say Andrew Breitbart was masterful at taking these weapons that these people have created for psychological warfare and perception management and rewiring them and turning them loose out into the public and letting them circulate and basically destroying the machine. Acorn, in this case, a huge weapon in the PSYOPs campaign. And when he got involved, it was incredibly destructive to Acorn and everyone involved. Has a terrible public image and getting defunded and all those kinds of things. Fast forward to today, we still have James O'Keefe. We still have Tucker Carlson. Remember the 2012 CPAC? Thank you, Tucker. Got to hang out with Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn. Very charming, very charismatic, but like Breitbart said, but so is Ted Bundy, so it doesn't mean much. Those are the kinds of people that Alan Watt was talking about. So, That's what I mean by, you know, can Satan cast out Satan? Borrowing from Jesus, you know, is that what is going on? You want to look closer and see what the results are. At first glance, maybe, but what are the results? What ends up happening? Is it a status quo that continues on, only people are just a little bit inured, a little bit more gelded? Or is something actually happening, something different? Stick around, we'll be right back.
But I'm afraid to die, 'cause I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Segment of the first hour, we're talking about Black History Month, but not the stuff you're going to hear on AB, CIA News, CBS News, NBC, MSNBC, you know, Fox, CNN, whatever. piercing the veil a little bit. I want to get back to the Prince Hall and Prince Hall Freemason. And, you know, and while we're at it, the Fraternal Orders, there was the video that Aaron and Melissa Dykes did, these 100, what was it, secret societies, prove who really rules America. I think that's the video back in 2017. Wherever that is. Can't find it on their website, but it's still around, I'm sure. So it's, you know, speaking of the Masonic orders and the fraternal orders, you know, the and there's the suborning, you know, while we're at it, I'll get to this in a bit in the second hour here in a minute. But, you know, while we're talking about Black History Month, can we talk about the troubling double life of Ernest Withers? Can we talk about the complex story of civil rights photographer Ernest Withers, as NPR put it? And, you know, for that matter, we're watching history, that history, be sort of whitewashed, sanitized, and rewritten right before our very eyes. It's happening. If you're paying attention, you're seeing it. Well, maybe it's not that big of a deal, and maybe we shouldn't focus on. Don't worry, the mainstream media will tell you what's important about that story and what's not. And you'll feel warm and snuggly, and you can sleep well at night. So, maybe we'll get to Ernest Withers a little bit. Can we talk about that? So speaking of this other stuff, you know, it's not so much the way that you know, the way that C. Wright Mills put it is the way to sort of view the it's the proper context for these groups. Like he said, you know, the ones who decide, the deciders, George Bush said, it's not Harvard or Yale or Princeton. You know, Harvard, Yale, or Princeton is not enough, the way that C. Wright Mills put it. He said the point is not Harvard, but which Harvard? And so he identified two classes of Ivy League alumni, those who were initiated into the upper echelon of fraternity, and those who were not. And that really, you know, sort of touches on the proper context. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.